So Team Grace, if we look at our gospel reading today, I hope that that gospel makes you a little uncomfortable. Because when we look at the gospel, we begin to realize it is difficult to be a Christian. To hear the call of the Lord, to respond, and to say, I will follow you, is difficult. In fact, the Lord today is emphasizing to the different people that he had invited how difficult it was. That Jesus Christ has to be number one. In our discipleship, have we allowed the Lord Jesus to be number one? Have we allowed everything in our life to be placed with Jesus Christ as Lord? And that's difficult because in our own fallen heart, we have our own preferences, our own emotions, our own desires, our own wants. But we have to be willing to die to all of those that we can, so that we can live for Christ. And we look at a fallen world and we have ideologies and worldviews and we have pressure and there are fears that constantly want us to compromise. And we have to go out and we have to be willing to die to all of those ideologies in order to live for Christ. Everything is put beneath the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that is not an easy task. In fact, we hear people approach the Lord and he puts it right there, that he must be first. Later in his public ministry, he will say something that's very provocative. The Lord will say to us, if we are not the first, if he is not first in our lives, that we are not worthy of him. That always strikes me in my own personal prayer, that if I'm not willing to die to myself and allow Christ to be first, to be the Lord of my life, then I am not worthy of him. You see, dear friends, we forget that we don't merit the call that Jesus has given to us. We don't merit it. We don't deserve it. We couldn't argue for it. We couldn't finagle it. We couldn't demand it. We do not merit the call that he's given to us. It is a gift of sheer goodness that he has called us to follow him. And those of us who've heard the call and said, I want to follow, yes, then we have to be willing to put everything else beneath his lordship and declare our trust in him. Jesus, I trust in you. You are the Lord of my life. You are everything I could want. You are all that my hopes, all my heart could desire, all the hopes, everything in this life, Lord, you are the fulfillment of. I trust in you. I surrender my life for you. And it's difficult to live that most excellent way of love and to remain faithful to that. So oftentimes we can look at our lives and we hear the parable of the sower. Remember that parable of our Lord. The Lord says, the sower, he's generous. He throws out so many seeds. And at first it looks good. But then you begin to look and some of the seed is burnt by the sun. Some is choked by thorns. Some is eaten by birds. And only a small portion of the seed find rich soil. And isn't that the case in the church today? The Holy Spirit has thrown out the seeds of faith, has been generous and scattered the gift of God's word. And yet so oftentimes what we can see is the sun, the thorns, and the birds, they've been busy. And that seed of faith has been taken from the hearts of so many. And there are some even among us who will say, yes, I'm a Catholic, yes, I'm a Christian, but they've never really made the declaration to follow Jesus. They just happen to be born into our faith to receive our sacraments, to warm our pews, but they're not Christians. They have never in their own lives said, I will follow Jesus Christ. I will die to myself. Jesus Christ is Lord. In fact, I encourage you, dear friends, if in your discipleship you have not yet made that declaration, I encourage you to do so during this ordinary time, to hear the call of the Lord Jesus in your own heart and to fan in the flame the graces of the sacraments and to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. I will follow you. And then to begin to order everything in your life according to his teachings, to allow him truly to be Lord. For we have a lot of fakers, a lot of liars among us. We see so many people who speak so much. The Lord denounced it. He called it lip service. The Lord said that he didn't need our lip service. He knows our hearts. He knows where we stand. He wants disciples. He wants men and women who are willing to trust him. Lord, I want to go say goodbye to my family. Lord, I want to bury my father. Jesus said, you trust me. You follow me. I will take care of your loved ones 10 times more than you ever could. Everything you give to me, I will return to you 100-fold. But you have to trust me. You have to be willing to abandon everything you think is important. Everything you feel, you think, you want. You have to be willing to die to that and come follow me. You have to trust me. And that's the call of the disciple. And when we each are called to make in our own hearts. And those of us who have made that, we are called to renew that every day. And a dozen different times in a day. But especially in this ordinary time. To say in our hearts, Jesus Christ is Lord. And dear friends, we can look at the holy ones as models. Here at Our Lady of Grace, we wanted to make sure we surrounded our worship area with our older brothers and sisters. Look at these amazing men and women, older brothers and sisters, different cultures, language groups, different parts of the world, different spiritualities, different vocations, but they surround us as models of what it means to live the Christian way of life, to say Jesus Christ is Lord, and to do it. Today we highlight one of those older brothers. We honor in particular today St. Jose Maria. Now here is a man who understood what it meant to give everything to Jesus Christ. This man practiced the priestly ministry during the Spanish Civil War when the communists waged all-out war against the Catholic Church. No one ever spoke about it. History books rarely mention it because it happened to occur during the Second World War. No one was paying attention to Spain. They would drag out priests and religious sisters and shoot them in the head, assassinate them on the spot, burn churches, convents. The communists had a field day against the Roman Catholic Church. And you know, St. Jose Maria, on one occasion, they came in to shoot the priest, and he happened to be outside of the main room. An older priest was dragged out and shot in the streets. And St. Jose Maria later realized that if he had been in the main room of that house, he would have been dragged out and shot. And that older priest was himself shot. And he said because of that, he lived his entire life indebted because of the sacrifice of another. Not just that older priest, but indebted for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And he decided that his entire life was going to be committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Have we, dear friends? Do we live our lives indebted because of the sacrifice of another? Do we realize that the only reason why we can have grace or the opportunity of heaven or have the strength to do what is good and right and noble is because the workings of grace in our life and all that is a gift given to us because of the sacrifice of another? Because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus? This is how we are able to have this freedom. St. Paul speaks about this in our second reading. For freedom, Christ has set you free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. And yet so many among us, baptized Christians even, who live as slaves to sin, refuse to go to confession, refuse to acknowledge their sin, refuse the grace of God, and allow that sin to sit on their soul and manipulate the soul. Our souls are not made for sin. They weren't made for guilt, and they weren't made for shame. Our souls are made for the life of God and for His glory. The more we allow sin to sit on our souls, the more we become less ourselves. We become strangers even to ourselves. We are called to freedom. And in freedom, we have to look to Jesus Christ and make that decision. Yes, Lord, I will follow You. And again, we have the older sisters and brothers to guide us and help us. And today in particular, we highlight St. Jose Maria. But the question is asked, well, if I say yes to the Lord, and then I go out in the midst of that world, how can I remain faithful? It's difficult to remain faithful to Jesus Christ with my own fallen heart and to dwell in a fallen world. How can I do that? Dear friends, this is where the sacraments come in. The Lord Jesus has given us the sacraments. He instituted them in order to give us His grace. Grace is God's life. It's His power within us. I am weak. I cannot do it. God's grace makes me strong. And I am more than a victor in Jesus Christ. I have God's grace. We receive that principally, that grace, through the sacraments, especially the worthy reception of Holy Communion. But also we see in the church today, even the belief in the Eucharist is under attack. Imagine the evil one. The devil gets it. St. James tells us in the scriptures, the devil knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. The devil even declares the Lordship of Jesus. And the devil looks and says, well, there's the nourishment, there's the power. I know what I'll do. I'll discredit this. I will lessen this among God's people so they are weak and easy prey. That's exactly what he's done. We are now told by Pew Research, 70% of our own either do not know because they don't care, or they do not believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. That means they come here to Mass, they receive what they think is just bread. This is a bread show for them, one step above a circus. And doesn't it show? Because such people approach with such irreverence. They dress so immodestly. They are so rude and irreverent and disruptive at Mass. They chew gum. They have sub-conversations. They refuse to acknowledge the holiness of this place because this is one step above Hope in Lancaster, one step above a social outreach center. We're just up here distributing bread in their understanding. But dear friends, it's not bread. In Holy Communion, we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. All that grace is given, and the souls who do not believe that grace has not been fanned into a flame. And so our bishops have called us to a 3-year national Eucharistic revival. I love that. I love to see our bishops taking spiritual leadership, to see these sacred men fulfilling the work that God has ordained them to do, to provoke us, encourage us, challenge us as the people of God to have greater faith. And so for 3 years, our bishops are rallying the cause for the people of God to once again understand and come to a deeper faith that Jesus is truly present in the most blessed sacrament. But even then we have struggles with belief. I think during this Eucharistic revival, the greatest gift we can give ourselves is an open heart. To ask ourselves where we stand in our own Eucharistic belief and declare, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And to allow the instructions of the church to guide us. Do you know St. Jose Maria? He understood that he could not be faithful to his declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord unless he was very close to the Eucharist. His entire understanding of Jesus Christ and discipleship was heavily Eucharistic. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Any disciple who thinks that they're going to go out and be faithful and they're not Eucharistic, they are fooling themselves, they are probably already compromised, and they're easy prey. St. Jose Maria tells us, compromise is the word found in the vocabulary of those who have no will to fight. They're already sold out. It's a very polite way of where he says elsewhere, such Christians are cowards. Cowards. Because they are not willing to fight for the gospel, to fight for Jesus Christ. They're not willing to fight for moral truth. But how do we have that spirit of fight? It's by understanding what happens here at this altar. It's by fanning in the flame what we receive, the body and blood of Christ. We allow the grace of God to take root in our heart, to not be eaten by birds or burnt by the sun or choked by thorns, but to allow our faith to become strong and vibrant, to declare regularly in our own lives, you are the Lord, Lord Jesus. You are the Lord of my life. I give you everything. I will forgive this person because I love you. I will show kindness to this person because I love you. I will respond to their unkindness with kindness because I love you. We allow our discipleship to be reflected in 1,000 different ways. That one yes of our whole heart to Jesus is lived out in 1,000 other small yeses. That's what it means to be a disciple. You know, St. Jose Maria taught us something that we find in the very teachings of Jesus Christ, that the small things in life become great means of holiness. Did you hear that? The small things in life become great means of holiness. We could be sitting in traffic, and rather than getting all upset and being irritated and acting the fool, we can die to ourselves and respond with patience and kindness and maybe even do a little bit of prayer. Every little small thing becomes a means to grow in holiness. According to our vocation, even the small things, washing the dishes, changing the baby's diaper, walking out and mowing our lawn, all these small things that sometimes we just take for granted, we don't even think about. St. Jose Maria teaches us, no, you do that and you do it for Christ. And you offer that up for Christ. And that becomes your means of holiness. And get this, he goes so far as to say, that's your vocation. Those are the duties of your vocation. That vocation was given to you by God. You know who's waiting for you in your duties? Those regular, mundane duties? Jesus Christ himself is waiting for you in those duties. That outside of the sacraments, you can encounter Jesus Christ in the fulfillment of your duties. Young people, being attentive to their studies. Those of us who work, to be attentive to our duties and responsibilities. To understand, this isn't just something I have to do. This is the way in which I've been called to expand the kingdom of God. This is my portion of God's kingdom that he has given to me. And everything I do for his glory. I will seek him and find him in my work and make sure that I seek excellence in all I do. That's right from the teachings of the Lord. The Lord tells us, to whom much is given, much is expected. He goes on to tell us that if he can't trust us in the small things, he can't trust us in the big ones. And those biblical truths were lived out and emphasized by St. Jose Maria, that we have to live the ordinary life for Jesus Christ. But again, how do we do that? We have to come back to the sacraments. We have to make sure that we realize what we are receiving, that we fan that grace into a great flame, that the life of God can sustain us, do in us what we know we cannot do by ourselves. And so with that understanding, here at Our Lady of Grace, we're going to be walking through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Now, normally during ordinary time, here at our parish, we break open the Missal and we go through all the scriptures. And I really enjoy doing that with our parish family. In fact, I'm sorry we can't do this right now for ordinary time. Because instead we have to go to the catechism of the Catholic Church. We're going to have to walk through the catechism and see what the church is teaching us. So we're going to dive into the catechism of the Catholic Church and be instructed. So with that, as we approach the catechism of the Catholic Church, let me explain. This catechism contains the definitive teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. This is the definitive interpretation and application of the Bible in our lives as Christian disciples. So every home should have a catechism of the Catholic Church and a Bible. 3 times in 6 years, we have distributed catechisms of the Catholic Church for free here at Our Lady of Grace. And it's available online. Because again, it's our hope that every home has a copy of the catechism of the Catholic Church. And you know why it's important you have a catechism in your home? Because you're an adult Christian. And you need to start acting like it. You have a catechism in which you can study and know our faith. If you have a question or you're not sure what the church teaches, you can pick up your catechism as an adult Christian and look and find out what the church teaches. If 2 priests are telling you 2 different things or 2 deacons are telling you 2 different things, you have power now as a Christian. You can pick up the catechism of the Catholic Church and look. And the priest who's teaching you what's right, I would say you follow him. And the priest is teaching you opposite or against what's in this catechism, do not trust your soul to that wolf in sheep's clothing. Do not trust that liar. So you have power, dear friends, as baptized Christians to know what the church teaches. Do you know it took Mother Church 30 years after the Second Vatican Council to formally give us this catechism? That's how much work, blood, sweat, and tears went into the catechism of the Catholic Church. This is the first time in the history of the church that we have a united, one-volume collection of all the church's teachings. Pope St. John Paul II wanted you to have that because he saw the confusion, the liars, the wolves in sheep's clothing. He wanted you to have the teachings so you could know, no, Father, you're wrong. That's not what the church teaches. This is what Christ is teaching. You can look for yourself and know the teachings of the church. So with that understanding, we look at the catechism, and there's 4 major parts. How many major parts? Oh, you're so good, huh? 4 major parts. The first part is on the creed. What is it on?
Creed.
The second part is on the sacraments.
Sacraments.
The third part is on morals.
Morals.
The fourth part is on prayer.
Prayer.
So how many parts of the catechism?
4.
What's the first part on?
Creed.
The second?
Sacraments.
The third?
Morals.
The fourth?
Prayer.
Now, we talked about the fourth part a couple weeks ago when we talked about prayer. When we spoke about that fourth part of the catechism, and the third part of the catechism, I've directed many of you to read that so that you can know what is a grave sin, what is a venial sin, to understand our life in Christ. That third part of the catechism is invaluable. Today, however, we're going to focus on the second part. The second part on the sacraments, especially on the Holy Eucharist. And I just want to read and give some commentary on portions of this part of the catechism. So if we go to the second part on the Eucharist, beginning at number 1322, we read, "The Holy Eucharist completes Christian initiation. Those who have been raised to the dignity of the royal priesthood by baptism and configured more deeply to Christ by confirmation participate with the whole community in the Lord's own sacrifice by means of the Eucharist." That means those of us who are baptized, we can participate in the sacrifice. Those of us who are baptized and confirmed, we can participate even more fully in the sacrifice. That it's baptism that allows us to be a part of what's happening here. And Holy Communion completes our initiation. Baptism, confirmation, Holy Communion. That means every Sunday on the Lord's Day, when we come and receive Holy Communion, we are affirmed in our identity as the children of God. We are affirmed in our identity as members of the body of Christ. That happens at the Eucharist. So those who are among us who are not baptized, we're so glad you're here. We're glad you're joining us in prayer, but you don't have the spiritual power or authority to participate in this sacrifice. You can join us in prayer, but what you are doing is vastly different than what a baptized Christian is doing. As a baptized Christian, we participate in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The catechism continues. At the Last Supper, on the night he was betrayed, our Savior instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body and blood. This he did in order to perpetuate the sacrifice of his cross throughout the ages until he should come again, and so to entrust his beloved spouse, the church, a memorial of his death and resurrection, a sacrament of love, a sign of unity, a bond of charity, a paschal banquet in which Christ is consumed, the mind is filled with grace, and a pledge of future glory is given to us. So here we see the Catechism is saying that in the upper room, as the Lord began his passion, he fulfilled the ancient Passover, which was the dress rehearsal of what he was doing. And there in the upper room, fulfilling the Passover, and then going through his passion, death, and resurrection, he allowed the new Passover, what we now call the Mass, to become the perpetual Eucharistic sacrifice. That means, dear friends, when we come to the Catholic Mass, we are participating in the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those were only offered once historically, over 2,000 years ago. But at every Mass, they are represented by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we, the baptized, can be a part of that. That Eucharistic sacrifice that he gave us from the upper room perpetuates his sacrifice throughout all time until he comes again. That means when we come to Catholic Mass, we're coming to a sacrifice. Are you dressed for a sacrifice? Have you prepared your hearts for a sacrifice? We come in order to be with the Lord, to accompany him, to participate in his passion, death, and resurrection. Do we understand that? Here at Our Lady of Grace, we've emphasized this. I have tried to stress repeatedly how important it is that when we come to Mass, we understand what we are participating in. We are participating in the Lord's sacrifice, and as members of the baptized, we can offer our lives as a sacrifice with him. We join our sacrifice to the Lord's as he offers himself to the Father. And only the baptized can do that. And yet there are so often times baptized Christians who come to Mass and they're all over the place. Their minds are somewhere else. Their hearts are somewhere else. They're at Calvary, but they're distracted. They're at Calvary, but they don't understand where they are. They're at Calvary and they're indifferent. They are standing before their crucified Lord with Mary and St. John, but they don't understand. We here at Our Lady of Grace, we have to understand the church is teaching us. We come to Mass, we come to the sacrifice of the Lord, the representation of his sacrifice. But the Catechism continues. The Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. The other sacraments, and indeed all ecclesiastical ministries and works of the apostolate, are bound up with the Eucharist and are oriented toward it. For in the Blessed Eucharist is contained the whole spiritual good of the church, namely Christ himself, our Passover. What's that saying is we can feed every homeless person, we can help every unwed mother, we can perfect the life of prayer and be great mystics, we can memorize the sacred scriptures, we can do all those things, but if we don't have the Eucharist, that doesn't amount to anything. All the other goods of the church, all the other works of Christ point to the Eucharist. And only in the Eucharist do those have merit. When we participate in this sacrifice, we receive the merits of the Lord's cross. We receive the grace. We work out our salvation, which means if we don't have the Mass, we don't have the church. If we don't have the Mass and we don't have the church, we don't have salvation. So here the Catechism is telling us everything is contained in the Eucharist and nothing makes sense without the Eucharist. But the Catechism continues. The Eucharist is the efficacious sign and sublime cause of that communion in the divine life and that unity of the people of God by which the church is kept in being. It is the culmination both of God's action, sanctifying the world in Christ, and of the worship men offer to Christ and through him to the Father in the Holy Spirit. What's the Catechism teaching us? That in the Eucharist we find that unity with God. We find union with God. If we don't have the Eucharist, we cannot have that union with God. And not only do we have the union with God through the Eucharist, but in the Eucharist we have union with one another. Look at us. What a diverse group of people we are. We have rich people, poor people, people of color, white people. We have all kinds of different personalities and temperaments. People who have different jobs and talents and abilities. Look at us. We are quite diverse. And yet what unites us? Not because we have the same personality. Not because we happen to like the same things in our society. What unites us is that we celebrate this Eucharist. And the union we have with God is reflected in our union with one another. And that union is found in the Eucharist, in the worthy celebration of the Eucharist. The Church continues. Finally, by Eucharistic celebration, we already unite ourselves with the heavenly liturgy and anticipate eternal life when God will be all in all. Do you hear that, dear friends? Then we come to Catholic Mass, we participate in eternity. that we are participating in the heavenly banquet. Our theology calls the Mass, we call this the appetizer. So we formally call it the foretaste. And again, that just means appetizer. When we participate here, we just have the appetizer. But we participate already. That appetizer points us to the full banquet of the Lamb. And when we celebrate the Eucharist, we are united with heaven. We're united with all our loved ones who've gone before us, marked with the sign of faith. I pray that when you come to Mass, you feel close to your loved ones who've died. I know I do. When I come to this Mass, I know I'm participating in heaven. There's something far greater than me or us that we are a part of. And we're united with our loved ones. Those in purgatory who are still being purged to see the face of our Father. Those who now share in the glory of Christ. Those that we're not sure about, but we dwell in hope that God might save them. We are united with them at the Eucharist. You know, here at Our Lady of Grace, we have this beautiful stained glass window of St. Monica and St. Augustine. They were saints in the 4th century, and Augustine here is presented as a boy, but that boy grew up and became quite the playboy. He was pretty wild. In fact, he was a drunkard, and he had an illegitimate child. He lived a pretty wild life. But his mother, Monica, prayed for him and fasted for him for over 10 years. And eventually he converted and became a Christian. Then he became a priest. And then they wanted to make him a bishop. And incidentally, before I can be ordained a bishop, he said, I need 3 months. Okay. St. Augustine took 3 months and he memorized the entire Bible. He said, if I'm going to be a bishop, I need to know the Bible. He memorized the entire Bible and he was ordained a bishop. They're from North Africa, but he was visiting his mother. He was still in Italy. His mother's there. His mother's about to die. It's breaking his heart. He has to say goodbye to this woman who's been so good to him, who's never given up on him, who interceded, who fasted for him. And he's saying goodbye to her, and he says, Mom, don't worry. I'll take your body back to North Africa. I'll take your body, and I'll bury it with our forebears. You know what St. Monica said? You bury this old body wherever you need to. You bury me wherever you need to, but do not forget me at the altar. Do not forget me at the altar. Bury these bones wherever you have to, but just remember me at the altar. When we participate in Catholic Mass, we are participating in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are united to heaven. We are united with eternity. We're united with all those who've gone before us. And I pray that you open your hearts and you allow yourself to understand what we have received and the power that we have as baptized Christians. And I pray that you feel the presence of your loved ones. The Catechism says, in brief, the Eucharist is the sum and the summary of our faith. Our way of thinking is attuned to the Eucharist, and the Eucharist in turn confirms our way of thinking. And is that true, dear friends? We know that the Eucharistic sacrifice is the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That we take this Eucharistic way of thinking, we go out in the midst of our world, and we look at our world, the fear, the temptations, the distractions, the pressure. We feel that passion. And we say, okay, this is the passion. But now I have to die to myself that I might rise in Jesus Christ and live for him. That everything we celebrate here, this representation by the power of the Holy Spirit, the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are called to take out and to live that Eucharistic mystery in our everyday life. To fight against sin. To die to ourselves, to share in the resurrection. To fight against fear, die to ourselves and share in the resurrection. And we have that authority. The Catechism tells us the Eucharist should shape our way of thinking. And as we receive from this altar the body and blood of Christ truly present, we are then called to allow it to mold and shape our way of thinking. To go out and to live as Christians. Again, St. Jose Maria understood that. He called us constantly, echoing the Lord's own summons, to be salt, light, and leaven. Not to be ashamed of being Christians. In his day, being a Christian meant a bullet in your head. And yet, bravely, he and the Christian community of Spain stand and stood for the faith. Oftentimes, all we have to worry about is our neighbor might make fun of us, or we might not get invited to something, or we might be called terrible names. That is a small price to pay in order to remain faithful to Jesus Christ, to live out that yes that we have given to the Lord Jesus, to remain faithful to him, and to allow the Eucharist to mold and to shape our way of thinking. So Team Grace, we're going to continue to walk through the Catechism up until mid-November, the whole of ordinary time for this portion of the year. And if you'd like, I'm going to encourage you, you can bring your Catechism to Mass with you. You can follow along. I know it's kind of bulky, isn't it? Look at this. Thing's huge. And this is the pocket edition, huh? But if it helps you, you can bring your catechism. We're just going to walk through, and we're going to let Mother Church continue to teach us. So in our own minds, it's clear what the Lord has given to us, that immense gift of his sacrifice and his presence, that this Eucharistic revival that we're a part of in our country will bear much fruit in our parish and in each of our hearts.